महाराज परीक्षित कष्ट भय ब्राह्मणा भाई सूत उवाच यो वै द्रौण्यस्त्र विप्लुष्टो न मातुरुदरे मृत अनुग्रहात् भगवता कृष्णस्याद्भुत कर्मणः So in the first three verses, Sutta Goswami speaks summarily the entire story of Parikshit Maharaj. Beginning from the birth till the how he took shelter of Shukadev Goswami after being cursed by Sringi. So he gives the summary in the first three verses of the Parikshit Maharaj. So the sages of Naimisharanya, they were really struck with wonder on hearing Parikshit Maharaj's administration. The previous chapter, how Parikshit Maharaj administered the kingdom, how he actually punished Kali. By hearing that, they were really astonished, they were struck with wonder. And Suta Goswami was also equally anxious to describe about Parikshit Maharaj's birth and the death. And this verse is stated by Suta Goswami to increase the interest of the sages. So here in this particular verse, the word Adbhuta Karmanaha, that is a significant word, being the Supreme Lord who is a performer of astonishing actions. Parikshit Maharaj, being burnt by the weapon of Ashwatthama, Drauni Astra Viplushto, Na Matur Udare Mrita means he did not die in the mother's womb because Anugrahat Bhagavata, because of the mercy of Lord Krishna. Anugrahat Bhagavata Krishna, who is a Adbhuta Karmana, who is the performer of astonishing actions. So we see previously also, anybody remembers where did this word Adbhuta Karmana came? Yeah, Krishna actually was not able to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. That is explained that. Then why is he called as Adbhuta Karmana? He performed still more superhuman acts because he convinced Yudhishthira Maharaj not to get convinced by his own words as a super soul from within. Yeah, next verse. Brahma kopoti dadyastu takshakat prana viplavas na sammumohuru bayat bhagavatyarpitashayah.
Consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmana bird.
So, Brahma Kopo Titadyastu Takshakat Prana Viplavat. And Bhagavat Arpitashaya, Parikshit Maharaj, because he had taken Bhagavat Arpita, because he had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, Na Sammumohu Urubayad. Na Sammumohu Urubayad. That means he did not become Na Sammumohu, he did not become bewildered by Urubayad with great fear. From what? From the Takshakat Prana Viplatat, from the life threatening snake called Takshaka. Takshaka Prana Viplavat is like an adjective for Takshakat. The life threatening snake called Takshaka. Brahma Kopoti Tad, which was that the snake was called by the Brahma Kopot, by the curse of the Brahmana. So Prabhupada so beautifully translates, Parishit Maharaj was Bhagavat Arpitashaya, means he was consciously surrendered to the personality of God. So when we perform the different activities of bhakti, means any of the 64 angas of bhakti, they are all in one sense acts of taking shelter of the Lord, either hearing or chanting or performing aarti or different services. But while performing the activities of surrender, our consciousness may not be invested. Our conscience may not be conscious while performing those activities. But Parishit Maharaj was consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead. So because of that, na sammu mohu. Because he was consciously surrendered, so he was neither overwhelmed by fear, he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear. So when we mechanically perform bhakti, then we may not have this effect. We may become overcome by fear. We may become bewildered when there is a danger. But when a person is consciously surrendered, he would be neither afraid nor overwhelmed. And Parishit Maharaj is, Prabhupada explains in the purport, Parishit Maharaj is Narayana Parayana. So Bhagavat Arpitashaya, he describes that is nothing but Narayana Parayana, only surrender to Lord Narayana. So he mentions four beautiful points, because this verse comes in 6th canto also. Narayana Para Sarve Na Kutaschana Vibhyati Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apituliyata Darshana. So the four points are, for Narayana Parayana, nothing is as important as the Supreme Personality of God. And second is, he gives equal importance to hell and heaven. And third, he remembers Narayan in all circumstances. And then fourthly, he never goes against the will of the Lord. So Parishit Maharaj knew that Lord saved him in the womb. And if he were to be killed by a snake bite, it would also take place by the will of the Lord. Like he knew that actually Krishna, by his will, he saved him when he was in the womb. So therefore, if he had to be killed by the Takshaka, then that should also be by the will of the Lord. So therefore, Narayana Parayana never goes against the will of the Lord. Next verse. Utsrujya sarvatas sangam vijnata jita samstitihi vayasakeer jagau shishyo gangayam samkalevaram.
Furthermore, after being all associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa to the Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of God.
So Usrujya Sarvata Sangam Vijnata Jita Samsitihi. So Parishit Maharaj further became the Vayasaki Jahau Shishyo. He became the student of Shukadeva. Vayasaki is Shukadeva Goswami. And Usrujya Sarvata Sangam. Usrujya means after giving up Sarvata Sangam, all material association. And Vijnata Ajita Samsitihi. Vijnata ajita samstitihi, that means vijnata ajita means being situated in the realization of the Lord. Samstiti means being situated. Ajita refers the Supreme Lord, the unconquerable Lord. And he became situated in the realization of the Lord. And in this way, jahau gangayam swam kalevaram. He gave up his body. Swam kalevaram. Jahau, he gave up his body on the bank of Ganges. So Krishna is called as unconquerable. He is unconquerable in every respect, even by knowledge. And then he says, but Vyasaki Shishya, Vijnata Vyasaki Shishya, it is very difficult to find the Lord from the Vedas, but it is very easy to know him by the mercy of that liberated devotee like Shukadeva Goswami. Vedeshu Durlabham, Adurlabham Atma Bhaktam. There is also another verse. Evam Triloka Guruna Sandishta Shabda Yonina Badari Ashrama Masadi Hari Mije Samadina. The Shabda Yoni Evam Triloka Guruna Sandishta Shabda Yonina. So the Lord will be the source of all the Vedas. Shabda Yoni. That purport Prabhupada writes, it comes in third canto, fourth chapter. That means that the Lord cannot be known even by studying the Vedas. He is the source of the Vedas. So he may not be known, he cannot be fully understood even by studying the Vedas. So, Utsrajya Sarvata Sangam. So, knowing the transcendental position of the Lord and the transcendental. So, one may ask the question, Utsrajya Sarvata Sangam. That means, like Parishit Maharaj, he gave up all material association. So, how could a person develop such realization, or how could a person develop such courage to give up all material association? So, that Prabhupada writes here. Knowing the transcendental position of the Lord and the transcendental method by which one can approach the transcendental Dhamma, the king was confident about his destination. And so he could give up everything. So unless a person is actually aware of a positive life, something positive, after renouncing, then one cannot actually renounce. So because he knew the transcendental position of the Lord, and also knew the transcendental method, so therefore he could give up everything. So unless one thoroughly understands the superior or eternal energy of the Lord, it is not possible to leave aside the material energy, however one may speculate on absolute truth. So, as we say that only when there is a higher taste, then a person can give up the attraction towards the lower taste, towards the material energy. That is the sum and substance what Prabhupada is saying. Next verse. So now, then the next six verses, Sudha Goswami describes like more about Parishit Maharaj. Essentially, in the first nine verses, Sudha Goswami summarizes Parishit Maharaj's birth, death, and dealings with Kali. The first three verses, he almost gave a summary of the whole life of Parishit Maharaj. Now, in the next six verses, he further describes, based on Parishit Maharaj's life, he says that how those who remember the Lord, they don't have confusion at the time of death. And he describes more about Parishit Maharaj's qualities, how Parishit Maharaj saw even good qualities, even in Kali. So, we'll discuss the further verses. Notama shloka vartana jushatam tatkatamritam syat sambramonta kalepi smaratam tatpadambujam.
It's also because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, of whom the very kings think and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions, even at the last moment of their life.
So in this verse, Sudha Goswami says, how did Parishit Maharaj not have any confusion even at the last moment of death? So, generally we find that like people study for the exams, but then right in the exam hall they forget everything because of the exam tension. So, but the time of death is like the biggest of all the exams. Like one can, because it's so painful at that time, one can actually forget everything. It's the time of the greatest anxiety, pain and stress. So how can one remember what one has heard at the time of death? So, notama shloka vartanam yushatam tatkatam ritam. So, those people who remember the lotus feet, tat padam bhujam, lotus feet of the Lord, and those who yushatam tatkatam ritam, relish the nectar of pastimes concerning the Lord. Uttama shloka vartanam. And those whose very lives are the Lord. And those whose very lives are the Lord, such people, antakale api, even at the time of death, they do not have any confusion. So, three qualities. Those who remember the lotus feet of the Lord, those who relish Krishna Katha, and third, those whose very lives are the Lord. So, these three phrases are mentioned. Such people do not have confusion even at the time of death. So, this verse gives a reason how it is not astonishing that such people don't have any confusion at the time of death. The Parishad Maharaj was such a person. So, when the Vedic hymns are heard from a self-realized soul and are properly understood by service and submission, everything becomes transparently clear. Here from a self-realized soul and submission and service. So thus a submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of life. But for a common man it is very difficult to remember at the time of death. But by the grace of the Lord, for a devotee it is possible to remember without difficulty. Tavat kalirna prabhave pravishto piha sarvatah yavadisho mahanurvya abhimanyava ekarat. So here Sudha Goswami says that this verse describes what was the situation after Parishad Maharaj punished Kali. So as long as Parishad Maharaj was actually ruling, that Kali could not influence anyone. So Parishad Maharaj, he showed leniency towards Kali by giving him shelter. At the same time, he was also strict with Kali because he did not give a red carpet welcome to Kali to live in any place. So, Parishad Maharaj allowed a place for Kali. At the same time, he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by Kali. So, that is the way of a good government. So, therefore, the principle for good management, that means in order to make sure that Kali does not enter, one has to make sure that hearing and chanting goes on in all circumstances, a temple or a center. So, as soon as the hearing and chanting stop, then the Kali will very easily enter. Yasminnahan yaryeva Bhagavan Utsa Sarjagam Tadaivehanu Vrittosa Adharma Prabhavakkalihi.
The very day and moment the personage of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, gave this earth, personage of Kali, who promotes all kinds of various activities, came into this world.
So when Krishna disappeared from this earth, at that very instance, Kali entered the world. that very instance, this verse basically describes the Kali's entrance when the Kali entered. But Kali could not actually exert its influence because a great king like Parishad was ruling. So as long as Krishna was there, Kali could not enter. So similarly, because the holy name is not different from Krishna, as long as the kirtan of the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam goes on, then Kali cannot enter. So, what is the technique to drive out Kali? So, make arrangement for constant chanting of the holy name, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Personality of God. Make arrangement for constant chanting of holy name, qualities, etc. This is the technique to drive out Kali. So, Prabhupada gives the application of this technique. So, there are many radio stations. Instead of vibrating some nuisance sound for sense gratification, arrange to distribute the transcendental sound by holy name, fame and activities of the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, that is why one of the famous statement of Prabhupada, like this statement is like the underlying principle for management. What is the statement? He said, there will be meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, and no solutions. But the chanting should go on. So many meetings keep happening. Resolution, solution, dissolution. All these things keep happening. Whether you get solution or not are different problems. But the chanting should go on. So, in that sense, at least in a spiritual organization like ISKCON, even if we make the perfect efficient systems, but suppose if the chanting is not going on, chanting means essentially two things, holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna is available in the form of Krishna is present as the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, suppose if these two things stop, even if there is perfect management, perfect systems, it is like the, it's a utter failure in management. But even if there are some discrepancies in efficiency of management and organization, etc. But suppose at least you are making sure that hearing and chanting are going on. So, you don't have to worry too much. Because the underlying principle of management is that the chanting should go on. Because that is the part to actually, that is the real protection for Kali to not enter. So, Prabhupada gives three beautiful points. When we allow this chanting of the holy names and the qualities, the chanting of the Srimad Bhagavatam to go on, what will be the result? First is, favorable condition will be created. Second, principles of religion will be re-established. Because Krishna comes to re-establish religion. Yada yada ki dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Comes to establish dharma. So how do we establish dharma now? The more you propagate hearing and chanting, because Krishna is not different from his holy names and Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of dharma will be re-established. And the third is that corruption will be driven out. Corruption will be driven up. So therefore, we should not underestimate the potency of sometimes Harinam Sankirtan. It may appear that what is the benefit of Harinam Sankirtan going in the streets? We may think like that. Sometimes we may think, oh, I'm not in the forefront. I don't feel like I've done something. But a simple act of Harinam Sankirtan, people, devotees regularly going to chant in the streets. So, these things, they have so much a potency, they create a favorable atmosphere. It helps us to actually establish dharma. So therefore, we cannot minimize. These are all like many. We may change different techniques of preaching in time, place, and circumstance, etc. There are certain techniques which will always hold good even after 10,000 years. That is, you're just going in the streets and performing Harinam Sankirtan. So these are actually time-tested techniques which will never change. Of course, sometimes when there is a ban or something, the time. But otherwise, these simple act of actually chanting the holy names, it creates a favorable condition and principles of religion will be re-established and corruption will be driven out. The next verse is a very beautiful verse. How Parishit Maharaj found good qualities in Kali. Nanudveshti Kalim Samrat Saranga Iva Sarabhuk Kushalan Yashu Siddhyanti Netarani Kritani Yat. So, you remember that Prabhupada had an interview with Chicago police commissioner, and the police commissioner was asking about how to drive out the crimes from the city. So, Prabhupada just gave two formulas. Please allow us to perform Harinam Sankirtan and allow us to distribute prasadam. And when the communist regime in Russia, when it collapsed, there was, I think, 1993, August, the particular date. It was reported on that particular date that there was practically no crime reported in the city of Moscow. Because on that day, it was Janmashtami day, because the communist regime collapsed, the devotees went and performed Harinam Sankirtan like throughout the city of Moscow in so many places that practically there was no crime reported on that particular day. So it creates a favorable atmosphere. So Nanadveshti Kalim Samrat Saranga Iva Sarabhuk. So the Parishit Maharaj did not kill Kali. He was like a honeybee enjoying the honey because he understood that in Kali Yuga auspicious activities bear results just by deciding to do them. Whereas sinful activities bear result only by undertaking them. So therefore, Parishit Maharaj was not unnecessarily envious of Kali. And he did not intend to give him any chance to perform any sinful act. So Parishit Maharaj protected the citizens from sins and at the same time gave places for Kali to reside. Parishit Maharaj took all the advantages of Kali Yuga. So what it means to actually taking advantage of Kali Yuga? That means taking advantage of Kali Yuga means organizing for Harinam Sankirtan. To protect people from Kali Yuga. And secondly, by organizing for Krishna Katha to protect people from the effects of Kali Yuga. So Parishit Maharaj did not think any ill of Kali Yuga. So you see, Parishit Prabhupada translated, Parishit Maharaj was a realist. He's like trying to see good qualities in even in Kali. Of course, when we say that the age of Kali, only by, even by desiring to perform good activities, you perform the, get the good benefits. But we shouldn't be satisfied simply by the decision. We should actually do it. Because, we should not think that only when I actually do the sinful activity, then I will get the result. So let me think of sins. Because generally, thoughts actually lead to the action. Vasudeva, at the time of Krishna's birth, he donated 10,000 cows in charity, in mind, because he was there in the prison house. But after Kamsa was killed, when he got all the wealth back, he actually gave in charity also. He actually gave in charity. So therefore, we shouldn't simply think with the, keep the thoughts with the mind, but we should actually do it. So, so if we see realist versus an idealist, so there's a Prabhupada calls the word realist, and there's the word idealist. So an idealistic person, he cannot accommodate people. So idealist is a person who has got a very idealistic expectations. So he cannot give more chances to the people. He cannot be flexible. But a realist can be accommodative and at the same time he can be strict. So that is what Parishit Maharaj, he was accommodative. He gave place for Kali to reside. At the same time, he was very strict. He told Kali, you can stay only in these places. He was also very strict to the citizens. He did not allow the citizens to perform any sins. So, realist is accommodative as well as strict. But an idealist, he cannot accommodate people. And idealist cannot empathize with people, but a realist can empathize with the people. Because Parishit Maharaj was a realist, when Kali surrendered to him, he empathized with Kali, but he didn't get carried away by the sentiments of Kali. He was also strict with Kali. So therefore, it's a very important quality to be empathizing. Sometimes we get trapped in anumana. Anumana means we get trapped. We get trapped in judging other devotees, doing anumana. That means speculating about the other devotees. But we fail to do anubhav of what the other devotees go through. We fail to empathize with what other devotees are going through. So therefore, especially the quality of a leader is not that he is good in analysis. His quality of a leader is not that he is only good in analysis, but the important quality of a leader is he has the quality of empathy. So doing anuman means sometimes a person will be very good in analysis. But simply being good in analysis, that is not sufficient. But the more important quality is that being able to empathize with others actually, situations, surroundings, etc. So, there are many verses which actually describe the glories of Kali Yuga. Kalim sabajayantyarya gunagya sarabhagina yatra sankirtaneneiva sarva swartobi labhyate. So those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of the age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in Kali Yuga all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So Parishit Maharaj saw this good quality of Kali. So therefore he is called as a Saranga Iva Sarabhuk. Saranga Iva Sarabhuk. It's a beautiful article Sasarup Maharaj wrote long back in BTG called as Idealism, Maturity and Realism. So initially, when you come to Krishna consciousness, one tends to be an idealist. Initially, one may be, especially, one may be an idealist, thinking that, oh, everyone is a pure devotee, and ISKCON as an ideal organization. So initially, one tends to be an idealist, but as time progresses, we come in contact with so many different situations where sometimes the devotees go through different difficulties and some shortcomings in the, say, institution or many other factors. So when people come across these things, so then the reality dawns upon them. There is a letter Prabhupada wrote to one disciple. He said that do not expect a utopian-like situation in ISKCON. That means, like, do not think that every devotee is perfect. Do not expect an ideal situation. So one should have the... Krishna is not an idealist. Krishna is a realist. That's why Krishna loves not only ideal people, Krishna loves even the real people. Real people means people who also commit mistakes. That's what Krishna says. Apiche sudracharu bhajate mam ananyabha sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. So Krishna loves not just ideal people but also the real people. So and sometimes when people, Satsurup Maharaj writes that after some years, for devotees who have been around for ISKCON for many years, what they find in it now may no longer be what they expected when they joined. So, like initially when they joined, they would think, oh, ISKCON promised that our economic needs would be met, or our leaders would never fall down, or they would always be practicing purely. So initially that was the expectation of the people. There was an ideal expectation. But as time progressed, Satsurup Maharaj is writing, it was an article written in, I think, 80s or something. As time progressed, so ISKCON went through its ups and downs and leaders went through their difficulties. And then when the different ups and downs went, then when the devotees, they went to other extreme, sometimes the devotees, they rationalized their fall down from Krishna consciousness as a realism. So they sometimes break principles or they fall down. But then they rationalize, oh, this is the reality, we don't have to be. So we can go to the other extreme. So then he says that, but when we go through so many situations, that we have to the extent we hold on to those truths which never change. To the extent we hold on to those truths which never change, then we can become mature in our spiritual life. So, there are certain truths which never change. What is that? What is the nature of the material world? The nature of the material world. That material world is temporary, it is a place of misery. And there are truths. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Bhakti is the process of attaining Him. Holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. These are some things which never change. So to the extent we hold on to these things which will never change, then a person can become mature. So therefore, we have to come to the platform of mature idealism. So what is mature idealism? For Prabhupada, ignorance of the people living in a materialistic mentality was a fact. And the enlightenment found in Krishna consciousness was an overwhelming truth. So in mature idealism, we should continue to live by the truth of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, like sometimes the people say, oh, Prabhupada's purport seems too idealistic. No, Krishna consciousness is the highest ideal and it is also the highest reality. It is not that it is simply the ideal thing, but reality we can never achieve what is mentioned in the books, you may think like that. No, it is the highest ideal and also the highest reality. Because many times people think that realism as an opposite of idealism. But actually Krishna consciousness is the highest ideal and also the highest reality. So material sense gratification is not realism. And those who follow the path of sense gratification are not realists. So therefore, in order to become mature in Krishna consciousness, we ought to accept the inevitable changes in our lives and not give up the spiritual aspirations. And we have to hold on to those things which never change. And also, Govindru was mentioning in the class, when we present Krishna consciousness also, we have to present the ideal principles. But along with that, the idealism has to be combined with the practicality. Adarsha and Vyavahar. Idealism and practicality, both should be there in our presentation of Krishna consciousness, in our guidance. So sometimes people go into one extreme, they speak the ideal Siddhanta. How bhakti is independent of everything. They speak the ideal Siddhanta, but they are not in touch with the practical difficulties of people who are actually facing different challenges in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes one goes to the other extreme. In the name of practicality, one compromises with the ideal principles. So therefore, maturity means there should be a combination of idealism versus idealism and practicality. So both should be there. So therefore, so Krishna's presentation of Bhagavad Gita was also not idealistic, because the very beginning of the Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya. He is not giving some idealistic expectation. He is saying that you have to tolerate the dualities. And also, realistically presented. And also, Gita contains ideal statements. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. That is how he concluded. That is the ideal, this one. At the same time, Krishna also began with the realistic, this one. You have to tolerate the dualities. So therefore, we see Krishna's presentation of Gita as an element of realism and also idealism. So that combination should be there. So there are some people who are like idealists. Like for example, Mahatma Gandhi was asked, what will you do if your sister has been attacked by somebody for rape? He said, I will practice ahimsa. So that is that's what ahimsa paramo dharma. Such people, he was such an idealist that he made ahimsa as the highest, this one. But sometimes you have to use violence for the sake of actually establishing dharma. But Krishna was not such kind of an idealist. And he, sometimes for the sake of establishing dharma, sometimes he used different these techniques. But in the name of practicality, it is not that you break principles all the time. only in certain situations. So there's an element of idealism and also practicality. Both should be there. So generally, idealistic people, they cannot cooperate with others who may have other faults. Difficult to cooperate because they focus mainly on the faults. But the realistic people, they can cooperate, they can work with others. And that is what example of Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Prithu Maharaj, he actually developed a friendship with Indra. Although Indra had so many faults. Because he was not an idealist. Kimnu Baleshu Shurena Kalina Dira Biruna Apramatta Pramateshu Yogruko Nrishu Vartate.
Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who were self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care of all the foolish, careless persons.
So Kali apramatta pramateshu. Shruti Pad says that Kali was an attentive tiger among the inattentive man. But what could powerful Kali do to the innocent people since he was afraid of the devotees? So Parikshit Maharaj considered that less intelligent men might find Kali to be very powerful. But those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless persons. So, according to Prabhupada's translation, Parikshit Maharaj was powerful like a tiger and he took care of the foolish, less intelligent people. Another way of translation is that Kali was an attentive tiger among inattentive men. That's another way. So, Prabhupada says that unless one is thoroughly intelligent, one cannot be a devotee of the Lord. And those who are actually not devotees of the Lord fall prey to the actions of Kali. So it will not be possible to bring about a saner condition in society unless we are prepared to accept the modes of action adopted by Maharaj Parikshit. So now Suta Goswami concludes this section. Upavarnitam etadva punyam parikshitam maya vasudeva katopetam akhyanam yada pruchyata.
Those sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit.
So he is saying that in this way I have described everything concerning Parikshit Maharaj, which is related to the pastimes of Krishna. So therefore, a devotee regards both the activities of Krishna and those of his pure devotees on an equal level. On an equal level, for they are all transcendental. So Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all the angas of bhakti which are in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are also applicable in relation to the devotees of the Lord. Yeah, next is the concluding words of this section. Yo ya kata bhagavata kataniyoru karmanaha guna karmashraya pumbi samsevyastabhubhushubhihi.
Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with transcendental activities and qualities of Supreme of Personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully.
So those who desire their own benefit, through real topics concerning the qualities and activities of the Lord who performed the greatest actions. Uru Karmanaha. So systematic hearing of all transcendental qualities means knowing him gradually in truth and fact. So now in the next 7 verses, the sages actually glorify Suta Goswami. The next 7 verses, they mention that so they just glorify and express their eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the subjects spoken to Parishit Maharaj by Shukadeva Goswami. That is the theme of the next 7 verses. Rishaya Vochuhu Suta Jeeva Samasamya Shashvatir Vishadam Yashah Yastvam Shamsari Krishnasya Martyanam Amrutam Hinah.
Eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for mortal beings.
So they are actually benedicting Suta Goswami to live a long life. May live for eternal years since you are narrating the glories of Krishna. So by speaking Krishna Katha, you get the blessings of the devotees. The more we hear about transcendental activities of the Lord, as they are stated in the Gita and the Bhagavatam, the more we can know about its transcendental nature and thus make a definite progress on the path back to God. Next verse. Karmanyasmin yanashvase dumadumratmanam bhavam Apayayati Govinda Pada Padmasa Vammadu.
We have just begun the performance of this good gratitude as accomplishing fire. Without certainty of its result, due to the many imperfections in our action, our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are actually pleased by the nectar of the lotus.
So here the sages are saying that, like, we are blackened by the smoke at this uncertain sacrifice. We are performing the sacrifice, but the result of the sacrifice is very uncertain. But you please actually let us drink the intoxicating nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda. So this is a beautiful purport where Prabhupada talks about the nature of the karmakanda fruitive sacrifices. There are many impediments in the karmakanda sacrifices because there is a scarcity of the expert brahmanas and the result is very uncertain. Like in agriculture, the result is uncertain in the sense because it depends on rains and many other factors. Unscrupulous and also, but the unscrupulous greedy brahmanas of Kali Yuga induce the innocent public to such uncertain sacrificial shows without disclosing the scriptural injunction that in Kali Yuga that there is no factual sacrificial performance but Sankirtan. Also it is, you can, the results are uncertain, but the people are Brahmanas of Kali Yuga, they don't disclose this. So sages were factually perceiving the result of hearing transcendental activities of Krishna. One can feel this practically as one can feel the result of eating food. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam. And then Prabhupada quotes, compares, I think, of course, from Brahma Vivarta Puran. In Kali Yuga, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculations. But when they are engaged in bhakti, the result is sure and certain. And there is no loss of energy. There is no loss of energy. So therefore we find karma kanda. In karma kanda, when you perform incompletely, you don't get any results. When you perform completely but incorrectly, you get opposite results. When you perform completely and correctly, you get temporary results. Whereas in the case of bhakti, even if you perform incompletely, still whatever activities you have performed, you can carry on the benefit to the next life. Nega bikramana ashosti pratyavayana vidyate. And you perform incorrectly, there are some mistakes in while performing devotional activities. The seva aparadhas are forgiven easily by the Lord. Lord mainly sees the attitude of the person. But in karma kanda, most of the attitude, whether a person is actually following the rules and regulations, the details are seen. But in the karma kanda, when there is a small mispronunciation, then you get a completely different result. Although the intention may be, Tvashta's intention was to get a son who can kill Indra. But the detail of pronouncing the mantra, there was a mistake, so therefore he got a different result only. But in bhakti, even if you chant the holy name little, Murko Vadati Vishnaya, some improperly chant, but still the intention is actually to please the Lord, the intention will be seen. And when you, in the bhakti, when you perform completely and correctly, you get eternal results, not temporary results. Next verse. Tulayamala venapi nasvargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya vidyanam kimutashishah.
The value of moments association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for them.
So in this verse, the Suta Goswami, the sages are glorifying the value of association with the devotees. So generally, analogy given that you compare things which are actually, which have some similarity. 1,000 rupees and 2,000. Gold and silver, something like that. But you can't compare Mount Meru with mustard seed. There is no similarity only. So similarly, that you cannot compare the value of moment of association with the devotees with liberation or going to heavenly planets or obtaining some material benefits in the earthly planets. Because one is spiritual and another is material. So Chakravartipad gives so beautifully, he says that let us not compare even the full results of karma and jnana with a particle of association of devotees doing sadhana bhakti. And then what then to speak of extended association of the devotees performing sadhana bhakti? What then to speak of association with the devotee who is in the stage of bhava bhakti? And what then to speak of association with the devotee who is having prema bhakti? In this way, Kaimuthika Nyaya is used to show the association with the devotee, how it is, how it cannot be compared with, because going to heavenly planets is the result of karma and attaining liberation is the result of jnana. So these things, the full results of karma and jnana, they cannot be compared even with the particle of association with the devotees who are performing sadhana bhakti. So Prabhupada also compares Yoshit Sanghi versus Bhagavat Sanghi. Tulayama Lavenapi Nasvarga Napunar Bhavam. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya. Yoshit Sanghi means one who is attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. So association of Yoshit Sanghi is condemned. But the association of Bhagavat Sanghi is desirable, praiseworthy, worshipable, and accepted as the highest goal of life. So more association with the people who are attached to women is more dangerous than association with women. Similarly, association with the devotees who are attached to Krishna is more beneficial than association with Krishna. Association with the devotees who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam is more beneficial than the association of Srimad Bhagavatam also. That is why Prabhupada says, hearing is more important than reading. It's like that. Kona matrupye drasavit kataya Mahatta maikanta parayanasya Nantam gunanam agunasya jagmur Yogeshwaraye bhava padma mukhya. So here it's like a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question is a question which for which the answer is not expected by the person putting forward the question, because the answer is inbuilt in that question. So ko nama tripyet, what knower of rasa, rasa vidh means one who is a knower of rasa. Like there are other terms like rasagya, rasa vidh. What knower of rasa tripyet could be satisfied with the topics of the Lord katayam, who is the Mahattamai Kanta Parayanasya. Mahattamai Ekanta Parayana, who is the sole supreme shelter Parayanasya of the greatest devotees. Mahattamai Ekanta Parayana, the supreme shelter of the greatest devotees. So which knower of rasa would be satisfied? It's like if a person is actually the knower of rasa, he would never be satisfied with hearing Krishna Katha. So he would want to hear more and more. Nantam gunanam agunasya jagmur. Yogeshwara, even those who are masters of yoga, and Baba Padma Mukhya, and the devatas headed by Brahma and Shiva. So Baba refers to Shiva, Padma refers to Brahma. Baba Padma Mukhya, the devatas headed by Brahma and Shiva, and those who are masters of yoga. Even they cannot find na antam. Even they cannot find an end to the gunanam agunasya. They cannot find an end to the spiritual qualities of the Lord who is without material qualities. Na antam gunanam. They cannot find an end to the transcendental qualities of the Lord who is actually agunasya, who is without material qualities. So there are many similar verses in this, like even in the first chapter Bhagavatam also it came there. That verse, Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. Vayam Tuna Vitrupyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Yat Shrinvatam Rasagyanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. Something similar in this. There are also other verses in the third canto it comes. 10th chapter Gita. Shrinvato Nasti Memritam. Bhuya Kataya Triptirhi Shrinvato Nasti Memritam. 10th chapter Arjuna says to Krishna, the more I hear about your opulences, the more I want to hear. I am never satiated by hearing your opulences. So good books are a joy to read, and great books are a joy to reread. One can reread the great books. But the greatest of all the books are one can reread those books for many, many times, an infinite number of times. That is the greatest of all books. So Krishna Katha is like the greatest of all the topics, because those who actually are aware of the taste of Krishna Katha, Rasavit, they are never satiated. They want to hear more and more. Next verse. So the next three verses, 15 to 17, the sages request Suta Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Sukadeva to Parishit Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes in the 14th verse, you see the word Mahattamai Kanta Parayanasya, that is repeated. This term comes in next few verses also. Yogeshwara, he says, even the Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are very much attached to the transcendent topics of Krishna, because he is the reservoir of all enjoyment. Ramante yogino nante iti rama pade na, so that verse. So in mundane affairs they follow the law of satiation, but transcendental affairs there is no satiation. Since the Lord is transcendental and his attributes are transcendental, such discourses increase the receptive mood of the purified audience.
Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradano magattamai kanta parayanasya hare rudaram charitam vishuddham shushrushatam no vitanot vidvan.
So this verse talks about the qualification of a speaker and audience. So Suta Goswami is called as Bhagavat Pradhana. Bhagavat Pradhana means one should have only one object of service, that is Krishna. The sages are Susrushatam, when they are anxious to hear about Krishna. And the result of such a combination is that they can, in such a combination, the transcendental pleasure is released both by the audience and the speaker. And they can continue the topics for thousands of years. And exactly opposite to Bhagavat Pradhana and Susrushatam are the professional Bhagavatam speakers and the materially absorbed audience. So professional Bhagavatam reciters, they make a show of Bhagavat Sapta for the sake of family maintenance. And materially absorbed audience, they hear Bhagavat Katha, but for the sake of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And such discourses are not freed from the contamination of material qualities, and they cannot derive the real benefit from such discourses. Therefore, Bhagavat Sapta are held for 7 days, and after the Sapta, both the audience and the speaker, they become absorbed in their material affairs, as usual. So they may cry during the Bhagavat Sapta. But after the Bhagavad Sapta is over, when India loses the cricket match, that time also they will cry. It's like that. Next verse.
Savai Maha Bhagavata Parikshi Yena Pavargakyamadabra Buddhihi Jnanena Vaya Sati Shabditena Veje Kagendra Dvaja Pada Moolam.
Please describe those topics of law by Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the lost to the chamber of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyasa.
They're saying Parishit Maharaj, who is the Mahabhagavata, with pure intelligence, he attained liberation. Yena apavarga akyam. In the form of the feet of the Lord. So here it is mentioned, Parishit Maharaj attained liberation. It means that he attained the lotus feet of the Lord. It is not the Sayuja Mukti. And in the form of the feet of the Lord, who is having a flag marked with Garuda? Beje Kagendra Dvaja Pada Moolam. So by Jnanena Vayasati, through the knowledge spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. So Prabhupada explained the term Mahabhagavata. So Mahabhagavata, they are devotees with perfect knowledge. They see everything in relation with the Lord, and the Lord present in everyone's relation. And they do not make any distinction between a devotee and a non-devotee. So that is the level of a Mahabhagavata or Uttama Adhikari. So Parishit Maharaj was on that stage. And Shukadeva Goswami, although he was an impersonalist in the beginning, but later he became a Mahabhagavata. So Prabhupada says that on the transcendental steps, the step occupied by a devotee is higher than that of an impersonalist. There are instances where the impersonalists have become devotees, but there are no instances where the devotees have become impersonalists. Except maybe when they have committed some Vaishnava aparadha. Otherwise, one devotee does not become an impersonalist because thinking that in devotional service something lacking. Because aparadha sometimes a person can come down. So another beautiful point, definition he gives. Material knowledge, liberation versus perfect stage of liberation. A simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. An actual freedom from bondage is liberation. And attainment of transcendental service to the Lord is the perfect stage of liberation. Simply having knowledge of liberation and actual freedom from bondage and engaging in the service of the Lord. So, three definitions are here.
Tanna param punyam asamrutartam. Akyanam atyadbhuta yoga nishtam. Akyakyananta charitopapannam. Parikshitam bhagavatabhiramam.
These narratives are the narrations of the individual, but they are purifying and supreme. They are spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotee, being full of bhakti.
So here the sages are telling, in the last verse, please tell us clearly the most pure Bhagavatam containing unlimited pastimes, which is devoted to astonishing bhakti. Since it is dear to the devotees and it was recited to Parikshit. So Bhagavatam is dear to the devotees and recited to Parikshit Maharaj. So then Suta Goswami starts speaking. So verse number 18 to 23, he speaks about the various aspects of the unlimited Lord. So the verse number 18, he gives credit to the association, and 19 to 22, he says that he talks about the various aspects of the unlimited Lord, and 23rd verse he says that Lord is unlimited, but I am limited. So therefore, let me glorify according to my capacity. So this is like 18 to 23. And then from 24th onwards, he resumes the narration of Parikshit Maharaj. So this is a very important verse. Suta Uvacha
अहो वयम् जन्म भृतोद्यहास्म वृद्धान् वृद्ध्यापि विलोम जातः दौष्कुल्यमादिम् विदुणोति शीघ्रम् महत्तमानामभिधानयोगः.
Promoted in world pride simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualification resulting from lower birth.
Sutta Goswami is saying, although I have taken birth in a mixed family, I have become elevated in birth because of serving and following the great devotees who are advanced in knowledge. In fact, even by conversing with the great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications arising from birth. Krishna Chakotipad says that we are born of mixed caste. We have certainly made our birth successful today by following after Shukadeva, because glorification of great devotees quickly destroys the mental pains arising from low birth. So, Prabhupada gives a very detailed purport.
One of the important points is that we see that generally here, like for the Vedic knowledge, in order to study the Vedas, one has to be a Brahmana.
But in order to learn the Puranas and Itihasas, one need not be a Brahmana. Because Brahmana means, it's not by birth, it's by qualification.
But
in order to study the Vedas, one has to be a Brahmana. By birth, by qualification. But for the Puranas and Itihasas, one need not be actually a Brahmana, anybody can actually this one. Sudha Goswami, he was born in a mixed family, but the sages, the Shukadev Goswami did not hesitate to speak Srimad Bhagavatam because a person like Sudha Goswami was born in a mixed family, was present in the audience. The sages of Naimisharanya, they did not hesitate to hear from Sudha Goswami because he was born in a mixed family. That means both of them did not consider birth as a consideration. They saw the qualification. So Prabhupada writes that, so therefore long back, the birth was not the main consideration, the qualification was a consideration. But as time progressed, the Varnashram system degraded. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kene Nai Yehi Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hai. If a person knows Krishna Tattva, even if he is born in a low class family, he is qualified to be a guru. Mahaprabhu elevated Haridas Thakur to the position of Namacharya. And Sutta Goswami, the special fortune of Sutta Goswami was that Sutta Goswami had the opportunity to hear from Shukadev Goswami, and he also got an opportunity to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages. In a sense, he had a double benefit. Because transcendental service, science has to be learned from the authorities. And then when one preaches it, he becomes still more qualified. So, Sutta Goswami had both the advantages. And so, Prabhupada writes that the rigidity of the caste system became prominent only in the recent centuries because of the increase in Dvijabandhu. So,
and it is mentioned that even by conversing with the great soul, one can be, by conversing with the great souls, one can overcome all the disqualification due to birth.
one may wonder, so, but I don't have the opportunity to converse with the great souls. We don't have the opportunity to converse with Srila Prabhupada or we are other acharyas or other great devotees. He says, but a conversation with the great souls is also equivalent to reading the books written by those great souls. And if you read the books written by the great souls, that is also equivalent to conversing with the great soul. Kuta punar grinato namatasya makatta maikanta parayanasya yonanta shaktir bhagavananto makat gunatvadya mananta mahuhu.
And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who have unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the unlimited.
So, in this verse, as I mentioned, he speaks about the, how the Lord is unlimited, 19 to 22. He speaks about the various aspects of the unlimited Lord. He says that what doubt is there about this for one who chants the name of the unlimited Lord? Because in the previous verse he mentioned how I become purified of the lower births by serving the great souls, by hearing from the great souls, by conversing with the great souls. What doubt is there about this for one who chants the name of the unlimited Lord, who is the Mahattamai Kanta Parayanasya? Again this word comes. With the shelter of the greatest devotees. Yo Ananta Shakti, who has got unlimited power, and who is Yam Anantam Ahu. The Lord is called unlimited because Bhagavan Ananto Mahat Gunatvat, because he bestows his unlimited qualities to the devotee. So Lord is called unlimited, Ananta, because he bestows his unlimited qualities to the devotee. So in this way, why the Lord is called unlimited? Because he bestows his unlimited qualities to the devotee. And second, another reason is that because chanting of the Lord's names destroys all the prarabdha karmas. It destroys all the prarabdha karmas. These two reasons are mentioned why the Lord is called as unlimited. So Prabhupada, the purport, he talks about the offenseless chanting. So before that he says that some people may give an argument, birth in the lower caste family is made possible by one's previous sins. And therefore one has to complete the disadvantages due to lower birth. But the counter argument is that, yeah, one who chants the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get freed from disadvantages due to low birth. So, offenseless chanting. What is offenseless chanting? So, pure devotee does not commit any offense in chanting. So, chanting, offenseless chanting means chanting under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. And the offenseless chanting is transcendental, so it can purify at once of all the sins. The next verse. This will take a break. Yetavatalam nanu suchitena gunai rasamya natisha प्रार्थयतो विभूति यस्यांग्रिरेणुं जुषतेन भीप्सो.
Consequently,
no one can speak of him adequately. Great demigods cannot obtain the favor of the goddess of fortune even by prayers, but this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although he is unwilling to have such service.
In this verse, Sudha Goswami says that even Lakshmi Devi aspires for the service of the Lord. Yetavatalam nanu suchitena. Enough with delineating the Lord, who has no equal or superior. Gunair asamya, asamya atishayanasya means Lord does not have any equal or superior in regards to his qualities. Gunair. And hitvetaran prarthayato vibhutir. So Brahmaji and others, they pray to Lakshmi Devi. But hitvetaran, neglecting or ignoring Brahma and other demigods who pray to her, even Lakshmi Devi, with a desire for receiving the qualities of the Lord in full, serves the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Yasyangrirenum jushate anabipsu. Even she serves the lotus feet of the Lord who has no material desire. So anabipsu means the Lord was not, Lord is unwilling to have the service of Lakshmi because the Lord is full in himself and he has nothing to accept from anyone. He is Atma, Rama, etc. But still for the sake of the reciprocation love, he accepts. So he says that why is the Lord called Yogeshwara? Because he is transcendentally so full of inconceivable potencies that simply by his willing, everything is done without a physical or personal endeavor. And therefore, he is called Yogeshwara, the Lord of all mystic powers. So we'll take a break now. Brother. Atapi yat padanakava srishtam jagat virincho brata pakritartanambah sesham punatyanyatamo mukundat konamaloke bhagavat padartah.
Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of God Shri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to Lord Shiva as a worshipful welcome. This very water, the Ganges, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva.
So, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they serve the lotus feet of the Lord and they get purified. The previous verse is explained that even Lakshmi Devi aspires for the Lord's service, but Lord is not attached to Lakshmi. This verse says that even Brahma and Shiva serve the lotus feet of the Lord and they get purified. So only Mukunda can be called Bhagavan. Except because his Charanamrita purifies the entire universe along with Shiva and becomes the Argya for Brahma. So this verse refutes the concept of pantheism. Pantheism means that there are many gods. The concept of many gods in the Vedas is by the ignorant people is completely wrong, because even demigods like Brahma and Shiva, Brahma is generally even and Lakshmi Devi, even all these people are not independently powerful. They are powerful as expansions of the Lord, but all of them are engaged in devotional service. The next verse, Sudha Goswami is giving the wise men as the proof who by taking shelter of the Lord became Paramahamsas. So, many times we will find that a particular concept is given and then it is shown that how even the wise men confirm this. So, Sudha Goswami is quoting the wise men. He is giving the wise men as the proof that how by taking shelter of the Lord, one can become, they became Paramahamsas. Yatra anurakta sahasaiva dhira vyapohya deha adishu sangamudam vrajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam
Yasmin Nahimso Pashamasva Dharma.
Self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and shakti mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which non-violence and renunciation are consequences.
So, just by one attachment to the Supreme Lord, it leads to detachment from many things. The self-controlled people who are attached to the Supreme Lord can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life. So, Prabhupada says self-control means, first point he says is that, only the self-controlled can gradually be attached to the Supreme Personality of God. Self-control means not indulging in sense gratification more than necessary. And third point, dry philosophical speculation is a subtle sense gratification of the mind. Fourth point, self-control is achieved by becoming factually attached to Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging senses in devotional service. So, Paramahamsa stage is like Vyapokya Dehadishu. So, those who are attached to the means of Bhakti Yoga are factually self-controlled and can all of a sudden give up their homely and bodily attachment for service of Lord. So, Paramahamsa stage is rare even amongst the liberated souls. The two words are used, Ahimsa and Upashama. Ahimsa means a real non-violence, that means it is a real non-violence, is freedom from envy. Upashama means renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature. Devotees who are attached to Krishna immediately give up strong attachment to body and other material objects, attain the highest stage of Paramahamsa, in which the lack of hatred and absorption in Krishna are the natural qualities. So now in the next verse, he says that Lord is unlimited, but I am limited. Therefore, let me glorify the Lord according to my capacity. Aham hi prishto ryama Riyamano bhavadbir achaksha atma avagamotra yavan nabhapatantyatma samam patatrinas tata samam vishnugatim viparchita.
So, Rishi, who are as powerful as your existence, I shall try to reflect to you the transcendental substance of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows,
he says that I will speak about the Supreme Lord according to my capacity, just like the birds fly in the sky according to their capacity. So therefore, the Lord is unlimited, but there is no need to actually by thinking about the unlimited nature of the Lord, we don't have to think that, oh, I cannot do anything. The Lord is so pure. No, but still, whatever ability, whatever capacity has been given to us, let us try to glorify the Lord according to that. Tatapi kirtaya manga yata mati yata shrutam kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhidasatim. Maitreya tells Vidura, that let me glorify the Supreme Lord according to my ability, based on, according to my realization, based on what I have heard from my superiors. Otherwise, my tongue will be unchaste. It will be like unchaste, like a prostitute. There are many prayers with this particular mood comes in the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj says that, Tasmadaham Vigata Viklava Ishwarasya Sarvatmana Mahi Grinam Yata Manisham Nicho Jaya Guna Visarga Manu Pravishta Puyeta Yenagipuman Anuvarniten. Prahlad Maharaj says that I give up the conception of being unfit if it is actually if it is an obstacle for glorifying you. Prahlad Maharaj begins the prayer by saying, how can I, being born in a family of the Asuras, how can I offer prayers to glorify you? But then he felt that just by thinking that I am so fallen, if it is becoming an obstacle for glorifying you, let me give up that conception of being unfit. So, Sarvatmana Mahigrinam Yata Manisham, I will glorify you, I will offer prayers according to my capacity, because anybody, however fallen he is, when he offers prayers to you, he will be purified. Puyeta Yenagi Puman Anuvarnitena. So therefore, nobody is so fallen that he cannot render anything. He cannot render any service. So no situation can be so hopeless that you cannot perform any service. Well, once there was a person who went for army training. He wanted to desperately join the army, but he was handicapped. The person said, how can you join the army? What can you do to kill the... You can't do anything to shoot the enemy soldiers. He said, I may not be able to kill the enemy soldiers, but I can definitely reduce one of the bullet from the enemy soldiers by getting killed. It's like he found a positivity even in that also. Instead of seeing that how I am actually handicapped, I cannot do any service, even in that he felt I can still render service by reducing one of the... One soldier was going to actually fight in the battle. The mother of the soldier said, I also want to come with you and I will also help you. But he said, what can you help? She said, I cannot fight with the soldiers, with the enemies, but I can cook with the motherly love for all the soldiers so that they will be inspired to go and fight. In the sense, a person, instead of thinking that, oh, I cannot perform these things. So we can concentrate on what ability we have and we can still render service with that. So, that's what Sutta Goswami is so beautifully saying. He talked about the unlimited, how the Lord is unlimited. He spoke in the last four verses. And then he is saying, the Lord is unlimited, I am limited, but still I will glorify the unlimited Lord according to my capacity. So, anybody you want to add something? We'll go to the next section. So now Sutta Goswami begins, continues the narration of Parishit Maharaj, especially after getting cursed by Shringi. Ekada danur udyamya vicharan mruga yamvane mrugan anugat ashranta kshudita strishito brisham jalashayam achakshana praviveshattama shama dadarsha muni masinam shantam milita lochanam.
Once upon a time, Maharaj Parikshit, by engaging in hunting in the forest with Brahman and others, became extremely fatigued, hungry, and thirsty by following the steps. While searching for the river and the border, he entered the habitat of the well known Chandrakrishi and saw the sage sitting silently with closed eyes.
So he saw once Parishit Maharaj had gone for a hunting. He was very hungry and thirsty. And he was looking for water. At that time, he entered the sage, a hermitage of Samikarishi, who was in Samadhi. So generally, for a pure devotee, he never becomes disturbed by hunger and thirst. He never becomes perturbed by such bodily demands. But by the desire of the Lord, even such a devotee can become apparently fatigued. Just to create a situation favorable for his renunciation of worldly activities. This is one reason Prabhupada gives why Parishit Maharaj became fatigued. To create a situation for favorable for Parishit Maharaj to get renounced. And second reason is that if Parishit Maharaj had not been fatigued, Srimad Bhagavatam would not have been spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to him.
for the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada says that to go back to Godhead, one has to give up all attachment to worldly relations. The Supreme Lord is so merciful, he never forgets his pure devotee, even though he may be engaged in worldly affairs. The next verse describes the state of Samika Rishi in yogic trance.
Pratiruddendriya pranamano buddhim. Pratiruddendriya pranamano buddhim uparatam. Sthanatrayat param praptam brahmabhutam avikriyam.
So the Samika Rishi had surpassed the three states, Jagrati, Swapna and Sushupti. He was actually in trance and he did not move at all. So Prabhupada talks about the process of Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Process of Jnana is a theoretical knowledge of transcendence. Process of Yoga is factual realization of transcendence by manipulation of the physiological and the psychological functions of the body. And third, process of bhakti is the engagement of the senses in devotional service. So then the sage was in meditation. He was covered with the skin of a stag and he had a long compressed hair and he was scattered all over him. The king actually asked him for water. So definitely, yes, such a great king like Parikshit Maharaj, asking water from a sage who was absorbed in samadhi is something unprecedented. Somebody who is absorbed in samadhi, meditation, you don't go and actually disturb such a person. Parikshit Maharaj knew such this thing. So it was unprecedented, this thing, that Parikshit Maharaj did that. Next verse.
Alabdatrina bhumyadir asampraptargya sundritaha avagyatami vatmanam manyamanascha kopah.
The king not received by any formal welcome by means of being offered a tea, plates, water and sweet addresses, considered himself neglected and so thinking he became angry.
So the king asked for water, but when Samika Rishi did not respond by giving a reception to Parikshit Maharaj, by offering a seat or giving some water, or at least some friendly words, the king became angry. So generally, for guest reception, you don't need many things. The guest reception comes so many places in the Bhagavatam. So many stories are, they began with an improper or a proper guest reception. So many stories in the Bhagavatam. Ranti Dev's stories about guest reception. Ambarish Maharaj's stories about guest reception. Bhagavatam, the birth of Bhagavatam is about guest reception only. Bhagavatam took birth, especially from Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, because of improper guest reception. But here we see Parikshit Maharaj became angry when he was not received properly. But later, the same Parikshit Maharaj, how he receives the Krishna Katha and how he receives the curse of Sringi. Now, when he was not welcomed by Samika Rishi, he became angry. But the same Parikshit Maharaj, like when he was not given proper guest reception, he became angry. But later, how he received the curse of Sringi. We'll see in the next chapter. How he welcomed Dvija Shapa Rupa, the Krishna has come in the form of the curse. And how he actually received Krishna Katha. Naitati dushraha kshunmam tyaktodam abhibadate vibantam tvan mukamboja chutam harikatamritam. Later, although he was hungry and thirsty, but he was eager to hear Krishna Katha. So many stories. Prithu Maharaj receiving the four Kumaras. There are beautiful verses about guest reception. A person who is rich, but if he does not receive sadhus at his home, then he becomes so unfortunate. And the house of such a rich person is like a sandalwood tree, but occupied by venomous serpents. On the other hand, a poor man, he becomes so fortunate by receiving sadhus at home. And the home of the poor man is glorified. And for Prabhupada writes so beautifully in those purports that actually to receive guests you don't need so much. He says that regardless of the economic condition, the saintly persons you can receive the guests by offering some drinking water. Because water is available very well. If there is no water, at least offer a sitting place. But if there is no straw mat for sitting place, if there is no asan, then at least cleanse the ground and ask the guest to sit there. Suppose if a householder cannot even do that, then with folded hands, he can simply receive the guest, saying, "Oh, please come." And if he cannot do that, then he should feel very sorry for his poor condition and shed tears and simply offer obeisances with his family, wife and children. In this way, one can satisfy any guest, even if the guest is a saintly person or a king. You don't need big, actually, this thing. So therefore, guest reception, it's a very important, any temple or the Sudama pastime is about guest reception. What actually transformed Sudama was the guest reception offered by Krishna. Sudama was a highly learned Brahmana who was so renounced. Somebody who is highly learned, in order to touch the heart of that person, you may think, oh, you have to quote some shloka which he also doesn't know. But Sudama, he was highly learned, he was so detached. But what transformed Sudama was the guest reception offered by Krishna. So essentially, some of these aspects may seem, they are not very important. You may think, mainly youth preaching is important and other thing. But these aspects are of guest reception. They are so potent when it is done properly, can transform any person. Visits. So therefore, Bhagavatam took birth because of an improper guest reception. But how Parishit Maharaj received Krishna Katha? So when we are chanting the holy names, we are receiving Krishna. So how we receive the holy names, with what attitude we receive the holy names, so that actually pleases Krishna. So therefore, So here we find Prabhupada writes in the purport, according to the law of guest reception, even if an enemy is received at home, he should be received with due respects. He should not be given a chance to understand that he has come into the house of an enemy. So Jarasandha, he received the Pandavas and Krishna externally with love, although he considered them as the enemies. So a poor man who has nothing to offer to his guest should be good enough to offer a straw mat for sitting, glass of water for drinking and some sweet words. And there is no expense in such a reception. Offering some straw mat or giving some sweet words or offering some water. it's only a question of manners. So Prabhupada writes so beautifully why Parikshit Maharaj's anger was justified and why it was not justified. How Parikshit Maharaj's anger was justified? The first point is Parikshit Maharaj did not expect a very elaborate royal reception from the Samyak Rishi, because he knew that the sages are not rich. And second, he never expected that even a straw mat, water and sweet words would be denied. He didn't have any high expectation. And thirdly, Parikshit Maharaj was not an ordinary man, he is a king. Therefore, it is justified that he became angry. But why Parikshit Maharaj's anger was not justified? Because Parikshit Maharaj himself was not less than a saint. He was a Raja Rishi. So therefore, his becoming angry and taking action against another sage, that was something astonishing. In that sense, it is not justified. So then Prabhupada says, this is the merciful nature of the Lord upon the pure devotee. By the will of the Lord, the circumstances were so created that they became ways to the king's becoming unattached to family connection and thus become a completely surrendered soul. So outward situations appear to be frustrating to devotees, but because the Lord is the supreme guide for devotees, in frustration or success, the pure devotees accept all frustrations as blessing from the Lord. So, how does the king respond? Let us explain in next verse.
Abhutapurva sakasa kshutradyamarditatmanah brahmanam pratyabhut brahman matsaro manyurevacha.
O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahmanas sages were unprecedented. When that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty.
So abhutapurva, that means it was an unprecedented circumstance. Parikshit Maharaj becoming angry with a sage, it's unprecedented. So he could not tolerate a sage's not doing anything, sage not responding. The king was right to punish his subject for coldly receiving him or neglecting him. But because the culprit was a sage and a brahmana, it was something unprecedented. The king should not be considered a wrongdoer even if he commits a great mistake. But in this case, Parikshit Maharaj became angry at the sage due to his anger and thirst by the will of the Lord. Therefore, just like Lord is never envious, the devotee is also not envious of anybody. Therefore, the only justification for Parikshit Maharaj's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. So, you see that Acharyas are trying to defend Parikshit Maharaj. There are three natures of a living entity: conditional nature, circumstantial nature, and constitutional nature. Our constitutional nature is Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. And our conditional nature is basically our psychophysical nature according to the body. Brahminical, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, like that. Conditional nature. Our psychophysical nature, which is related to the body. Constitutional nature is the nature of the soul. And then there is a circumstantial nature. The circumstantial nature is that sometimes a person, his normal nature is that he never disrespects. But in a particular circumstance, he may do something wrong. So one should never judge a person based on the circumstantial nature. One shouldn't come to the full conclusion based on the circumstantial nature. Sometimes good people, they also commit some mistakes in a particular circumstance. And bad people, they also may do something good in a particular circumstance. Pakistan may supply some relief material when there is an earthquake in India. So do you conclude, oh, Pakistan is such a glorious country like that? It is just a circumstantial nature. Out of etiquette, you have to you have to do that in a neighboring country, something. So therefore, in the Mahabharata, for example, Vyasadeva has depicted the human aspect of all the personalities. While describing about the Pandavas, he also does not hide the mistakes committed by the Pandavas. How Yudhishthira Maharaj gambled. And Arjuna had the Karuna Dosha. Arjuna had the Karuna Dosha, means he was attached to his grandfather and the teacher Drona. Because of that, he was not willing to fight. And Vyasadeva does not hide the certain good qualities of Duryodhana and Karna also. But based on the good qualities exhibited by Karna, how you are charitable, if you make an overall impression of Karna based on only on that particular circumstantial nature, then you will come to a wrong conclusion. Because Karna resolved to give charity because he wanted to kill Arjuna. He took a vow that till the time I am able to kill Arjuna, whoever asks whatever charity I will give. That is the vow he took. So that charity was not born of some innate nature of being very generous and this one. It was born out of the desire to kill Arjuna. The charity in mode of passion. So the sense, but by that you can't actually come to the conclusion about the overall personality of Karna, how he is so charitable. Duryodhana also sometimes performed yajna. Duryodhana performed once what is called as a Vaishnava yajna. So therefore, sometimes good people, bad people also perform some good activities in a particular circumstance. And good people, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed the gambling. He staked Draupadi, like that. So therefore, we shouldn't judge a person based on the circumstantial nature. We have to see the overall nature. So here, Parikshit Maharaj becoming angry at the sage was a circumstantial nature. Never before Parikshit Maharaj had disrespected the Brahmana, even in the dreams. Even in the dreams, he never disrespected the Brahmanas. So therefore, in this particular case only, he actually disrespected Samik Rishi. And never after this instance also, he again took shelter of the Brahmanas. Therefore, coming to a conclusion about the character of Parikshit Maharaj only based on this circumstance is a wrong this one. Therefore, the Acharya is saying it is actually ordained by the will of the Lord so that the Bhagavatam could be spoken. 30th verse. Satu Brahma Rishiram Se Gatasun Uragam Riksha Vinirgachyan Danuskotya Nidaya Puram Agataha.
While living, the king, being so insulted, picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the snake.
So Parikshit Maharaj acted in a tit for tat manner. You didn't receive me, so let me give what kind of a reception to you. He put a dead snake on him. You did not welcome me properly, so therefore, what kind of welcome I am going to give you? So like that, he put a dead snake, garland of a dead snake. So generally, the tit for tat is a natural dealing of a conditioned soul. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj dealing with Brahmana sage, it was something unprecedented, abhutapurva. It happened by the will of the Lord. So generally we find, because you did something, so I will do something in return. The badla lena. Material consciousness is actually taking revenge. So all the movies also promote this kind of this thing. There was a movie called as Badlapur. It is about taking revenge. So material consciousness is about taking revenge, tit for tat. So, but to understand that it is my karma and having the revenge attitude, when Krishna talks about the Avanti Brahmana, the 11th canto, he says that once a certain sannyasi was insulted by impious men. However, that sannyasi with discrimination remembered that he was suffering the results of his own previous karma. With determination he remembered, because it is very difficult to once a man asked Lincoln, why don't you kill your enemies? So Lincoln said, I kill my enemies by making them as friends. By considering them as friends, I kill them, my enemies. So in the Niti Shastra, there's a verse which comes that Sevaka Swaminam Dreshte Kripanam Parushaksharam Atmanam Kimsa Nadveshti Savyas Savyam Navetiya. A servant hates his master if the master is a miser and rough in talking. Why does he not hate himself? Because he cannot judge who is worthy of serving and who is not. People habitually blame the surroundings for their sufferings, though more often than not, the cause of trouble is oneself and not the surroundings. So Parishad Maharaj, he actually put the dead snake on Samyak Rishi and then he returned. But while he was returning, Parishad Maharaj starts contemplating. Yesha kim nibhruta sesha karmano milite kshanaha nrishasma virahosvin kimnusya kshatra banduvihi.
Upon returning, he began to contemplate and observe himself, whether the sage had actually been in meditation with senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid seeing a lower
Kshatriya. Maharaj was thinking, was he actually closing his eyes in a state of withdrawing his senses? Was he actually in Samadhi? Or he was pretending to be in Samadhi? Was he pretending to be in Samadhi because a fallen Kshatriya had come? Kshatra Bandubihi. So he see, immediately he is considering himself as a fallen Kshatriya. Because the fallen Kshatriya came, was he pretending to be in Samadhi like that? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that see the Acharyas, they actually defend the action of Parishad Maharaj. They again and again say that this was the desire of the Lord, plan of the Lord. But Parishad Maharaj, on his part, he takes full responsibility for his action. That's what you will see for in the next chapter. So Prabhupada in the purport, he gives four reasons to show that how Parishad Maharaj's action was plan of the Lord. First point is that repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. Second reason, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami do not believe that the king's action was due to his past misdeeds. And third point, Lord created the situation of frustration and arranged for Parishad Maharaj to get cursed by an inexperienced Brahmana influenced by Kali Yuga, so that Parishad Maharaj approaches Shukadeva Goswami and Bhagavatam will be spoken. And that book Bhagavatam gives fascinating information about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, like Rasleela. So another example, that Lord also put Pandavas like Arjuna in bewilderment so that for the incarnation of the Bhagavad Gita. For the incarnation of Bhagavad Gita, Lord put Arjuna in a bewilderment.
Similarly, for the incarnation of Srimad Bhagavatam to appear, Krishna put Parishad Maharaj in such a situation and made him act like that. The fourth point is, being distressed by hunger and thirst was only a show because the king endured much even in the womb of his mother. When Brahmastra was shot, at that time, he actually tolerated the hunger and the intense heat of the Brahmastra. So how can he not tolerate? When he was a grown-up person, how can he not tolerate little hunger and thirst? And the future also he tolerated. Hunger and thirst for 7 days and 7 nights. So how is it that he was not able to tolerate now? Therefore, all these points show that it was actually the arrangement of the Lord. So Vishnu Chakotipad says that Parishit's condition was produced by the Lord himself in order to create an apparent reason for the Lord's appearance in the form of the Bhagavatam. Parishit never had such conduct even in the dreams. Thus it is said that this was something he had not experienced before. His state of anger did not arise from bad karma, since the result of this act was great fortune of meeting Sukadeva. Usually because of bad karma, a person becomes angry or envious, etc. Those bad karma create certain impressions, and those impressions lead a person to exhibit negative emotions. But in this case of Parishit Maharaj, his becoming angry is not because of bad karma, because that finally led to the meeting Sukadeva Goswami, association of a pure devotee. Karma cannot be actually the cause of association with the pure devotees. And nor should one say that the cause was his great thirst because of that he acted like that. Because later, he tolerated so much of thirst and while hearing Bhagavatam. He fasted until death. So therefore, since he was filled with the spiritual power in the birth and death, and he had conquered time in his middle age by restricting Kali. Therefore, he must be considered to have exceptional strength by the mercy of the Lord. So, we find that there are four steps in the how a conditioned soul who commits, or a sadhaka who commits mistakes, how he progresses. First, when he commits a mistake, first step is that he recognizes his mistakes. And second step is that he has a feeling of remorse, or we can say that feeling of remorse or repentance. He repents for the mistakes. And third step is, one should not simply stop with remorse or repentance. One should rectify the mistake by performing penance. And fourth step is reunion with the Supreme Lord. Recognition, repentance, rectification, and reunion. The next verse. Tasya putroti tejasvi viharan balakorbakah rajyagam prapitam tatam shrutva tatredam abravit.
Being a Brahmana's son, while he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there the boys spoke as follows.
So from 32 to 50, how the Sringi curses Parishit Maharaj, and how Samika Rishi regrets and prays for Parishit Maharaj, and Sringi, of course. That is explained in 32 to 50. This is the scene at the playground. The sage had a powerful son. He was playing with the younger boys. And when he heard that Parishit Maharaj had offended his father, he spoke the following words. So we can say the power of Brahmacharya Ati Tejasvi Viharan Balakorbakai. So because of Parishit Maharaj's good governance, even a boy of a tender age was playing with other inexperienced boys, he could become a very powerful Brahmana. And Prabhupada talks about benefit of training. Sringi achieved good training in Brahmacharya by his father so that he could be as powerful as a Brahmana even at that age.
So in one sense, the Sringi, he had that power because of the good governance of Parishit Maharaj. Because only when there is a proper Kshatriya government, the Brahmanas can perform their duties. But he didn't actually realize that Sringi became very puffed up. So another beautiful point is that how does the Kali enter the people? The Kali's first attack is, it attacks the culture of Varnashram. Yeah, Kali was looking on for an opportunity to spoil the Varnashram Dharma, and this inexperienced Sringi, he gave a chance for Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture. So the hatred of the lower orders of life began with Sringi. Lower orders mean Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It all began with Sringi. People, when the caste system got corrupted, people started hating
people in the higher orders, like Brahmanas, they started hating and exploiting the lower orders. Kshatriyas started exploiting the others.
So the first victim of Brahminical injustice was Parishit Maharaj, and thus protection given by king against Kali was slackened. So Sringi starts blaspheming.
Aho adharma palanam pivi pivnam balibhujamiva swaminyagam yaddasanam dvarapanam shunamiva.
The Brahmana's son Sringi said, "Oh, just look at the sins of the rulers who, like crows and watchdogs at the door, perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants."
You see, the Sringi is calling Kshatriyas as the watchdogs. Yeah, definitely, the king is certainly a watchdog of the state, because the king keeps vigilant eyes over the criminals. For the benefit of the, for protecting the citizens. But to address him as a watchdog is a sign of a less cultured boy. So Prabhupada says that Sringi was a qualified son of a great Brahmana Samika Rishi. He attained rigid Brahminical power both by birth and by training. But what was the drawback of Sringi was that he was lacking in culture, because he was an inexperienced boy. So we may have
some high qualification, but the culture is important.
So Sringi became puffed up with Brahminical power and wrongly compared kings to crows and watchdogs. So, Kshatriyas are required to protect the body from the harm. So, they must act according to the head and brain. Kshatriyas, they take guidance from the Brahmanas and then they act accordingly. But when the Brahmanas, if you see the right dealings between a Kshatriya and Brahmana, you have to read the section on Kardama Muni Swayambhu Manu Samvad. How Kardama Muni had so much of respect for Swayambhu Manu. Kardama Muni also speaks to Swayambhu Manu that because you are performing the duty as a Kshatriya, therefore we are able to perform austerities. He was appreciating Swayambhu Manu. And how Swayambhu Manu had so much of appreciation for Kardama Muni as a Brahmana. Because you are all performing Brahminical austerity, therefore you are protecting the entire country.
another section in order to see the proper dealings between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas is the Prithu Maharaj and the four Kumaras. How Prithu Maharaj showed gratitude to the four Kumaras? He said, in this world, the Brahmanas are the only owner. Only they enjoy the property, their own property. In fact, we as a kings, we are simply taking care of the property of the Brahmanas. We are simply caretakers. Just like a cashier takes care of the money of the common people, we are simply taking care of your property. The whole kingdom is yours only. So in that sense, this is another section, but here Sringi is puffed up. So Prabhupada says the downfall of the Brahminical powers began when they gave importance to birthright without culture. And all other orders also began to deteriorate. Birthright without culture. And then Sringi justifies his father. So therefore, you see, let's explain that China Wall when they built the big China Wall in order to actually stop the invasion by the enemies. But in the first 100 years, there were 3 invasions. Even after the wall was built, there were 3 invasions. But not by breaking the wall, but by bribing the gatekeepers. So therefore, the character building comes before the building anything else. So therefore, Sringi had a Brahminical training, but he didn't have a proper culture. So therefore, this cultural training is very important. Next verse. Brahmana kshatra bandurhi dwarapalo nirupitaha sakatam tadgruhe dvasta shabandam boktu marhati.
The descendants of the king Kumaras are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to bang the master on the same plate?
So it is said that there are 3 ways to destroy a civilization. Destroy the family culture, family structure, and destroy the education system, and lower the role models of the people. And that is what the Britishers did. They destroyed the family structure in India, destroyed the education system, and lowered the role models of the people. That is how the modern media, the current role models, whatever the role models in the scriptures, they are trying to lower that, and then some other role models are projected. So therefore, culture is important. Culture comes with like good family and good education, and who are our role models? But Sringi was lacking in the culture. So you see, Sringi, destroy the education system. So in the 34th verse, Sringi is justifying the action of his father. Actually, his father didn't receive Parishit Maharaj, but he is justifying the father action of his father. He is saying the fallen Kshatriya, Kshatrabandhu, is designated as a doorkeeper by the Brahmanas. How can he, guarding the door, enter the house and eat the food in the pots? He is saying that how can a Kshatriya enter our house, our father's hermitage? How can he hope to actually dine with the Brahmanas? It's like dogs, how can the dogs enter the house and hope to dine along with the master? Of course, if you tell that in the West, people will feel offended. Because there the dogs are actually in the dining table, and they are everywhere actually. And Western culture comes in India, and even in India sometimes people, dogs are there everywhere. And traditionally, if you see, dogs would be there in the houses, but dogs would be only outside the houses. And the dogs would know that I am not supposed to enter inside the house.
I went to one devotee's house in one place. He had a dog. He said, hey, dogs are there, but dogs won't enter inside the house. Even they understand. So he is saying that Kshatriyas are compared to the dogs. How can the Kshatriyas hope to dine with the Brahmanas? Huh. So here we see Sringi is justifying the wrong act of not receiving the king. Instead of feeling sorry for the kings not being well received, he justified the wrong act in a way characteristic. So justification is nothing but intelligence used in the service of false ego. Huh. So for Sringi, king did the mistake, not his father. Huh. The dog is certainly reared by the master. But that does not mean that the dog shall came to dine and drink with the same pot. Drink from the same pot of the master. So therefore, when does a person justify, that is because of false prestige. Only when a person is falsely proud, falsely puffed up, then he does not accept the mistake, he simply starts justifying the mistake. So therefore, you see, one of the mood of Radhanath Maharaj is that he would never justify. Because sometimes practical situations you may have to explain properly. But many times this tendency to seek justice and not accept our mistake, that is so deep rooted. The mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order, that is the Brahmanas. And it all started with the inexperienced Brahmana Sringi. So the next verse. So therefore, like one may commit a mistake, but when a person justifies the mistake, the justification is considered a greater mistake than the actual mistake. On the other hand, when a person accepts the mistake and begs forgiveness, that will be appreciated. One devotee was going in a bus. Suddenly, there was such a sudden break, and the people traveling in the bus were actually really shaken. The bus driver stopped the bus and came out of the driver's seat, and the people were like cursing the driver, and the driver came and humbly begged forgiveness, and that changed the whole atmosphere. All the passengers were like trying to, like so angry with the driver, why did he drive like that? But when he came and actually begged forgiveness, that changed the whole atmosphere. So therefore, accepting the mistake, when we justify the mistake, it becomes a greater mistake. But rather, and good people never justify, they take responsibility even for the mistakes not committed many times. Yudhishthira Maharaj, and that's what we saw in the first canto, 7th chapter end, he felt that I am responsible for the killing of entire 64 crore people. Wrong people never even accept their mistakes. Next verse. Krishne gate bhagavati shastar yutpata gaminam tadbhinna setun adhyagam
shastri pashyata mevalam.
After the departure of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of Radhigam, these extra sanctuaries, our protector being God. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power.
So, here, Sangi is saying, since Krishne gate bhagavati, since the Krishna, who is the punisher of those who deviate from the path, utpata gamina, since Krishna has departed, I will punish the breaker of the rules. See my power. Pashyata me balam. So, Sringi is taking the position of Krishna. He's taking the position of Krishna. So when there is a pride, the pride leads to justification, and a person becomes a self-appointed authority. So when we want to correct somebody, we have to ask a question: what is my motivation? And then second thing is that, even if my motivation is right, am I authorized to correct a person? And third is, even if our motivation is right, even if we are authorized to correct, is it the right time to correct? Is it the right way to correct that person? So we have to ask all these questions. So, but Sringi, he became a self-appointed authority. So, Parikshit Maharaj gave Kali Yuga 4 places, but by his expert government, Kali could hardly find a place. So, Kali was desperately seeking an opportunity to establish his authority. And thus, Kali found a hole in the puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. So therefore, what is the principal sign of the upstarts? The principal sign of the upstarts is that they want to take the place of Krishna under the influence of Kali. So an upstart with little power wants to become an incarnation of God. And that's what we see in Kali, where many people claim to be incarnation of God. And they mislead innocent public by accepting spiritual obedience of general mass of people to maintain false prestige. So, Sringi had the audacity to punish such a great king like Parikshit. Next verse. Ityuktva rosha tamraksho vayasyan rishi balakan kaushikyava upasprishya vagvajram visa sarjaha. So he then, after speaking like that, he is cursing Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj punished Kali for protecting the world. And Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, and that harmed the whole world because Kali is able to enter. The circumstances under which Parikshit Maharaj was cursed were simply childish. Because Sringi was showing his impudency among his playmates who were innocent. So any sane man would have prevented him from doing such a great harm to all human society. So the next verse, the curse of Sringi is given.
Iti langita maryadam rakshaka sapta mehani dangshyati smakulangaram chodito meta todrham.
The Brahmanas cursed the king thus: on the seventh day from today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty, Maharaj, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting her father.
So he is calling Parikshit Maharaj as Kulangara. Kulangara means the lowest in the dynasty. By my order, Takshaka will bite this black sheep of his family, offender of my father and a trespasser of boundaries. So Prabhupada says that this is the beginning of the misuse of the Brahminical power. And gradually, the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga became devoid of both Brahminical power and culture. In the case of Sringi, he had Brahminical power, but he lacked in Brahminical culture. And as Kali Yuga progressed, the Brahmanas, they started becoming lacking in both the Brahminical power as well as culture. So actually, Kulangara refers to Sringi, because only from him
did the Brahmana caste became powerless. But he is calling Parishrut Maharaj as the Kulangar.
So, it's like a snake whose poisoned teeth are broken. The snake is fearful as long as the poisoned teeth are there. Otherwise, he is fearful to only children. So, then Prabhupada talks about the modern day caste system. The whole scientific system of orders of society in this age has assumed the form of a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by Kali. Another class of men similarly influenced by Kali. So, one should see to the, basically there is nothing wrong with the system of Varnashram. But we have to understand the root cause of the degradation. One should see to the root cause of vitiation and not condemn the system as it is without knowledge of its scientific value. It is like throwing the baby along with the bathtub. Rejecting the entire system. In the bathtub, the water in the bathtub is sampling. You throw the water, not throw the baby. Or it's like, there is a stone in the kidney. Instead of removing only the stone, you remove the entire kidney only. Stone is removed by removing the kidney, but you are complicating the problem much more because kidney itself is removed. So therefore, when the Varnashram system collapsed, it is not that you reject, by rejecting the entire system, you are going to actually complicate the problem much more. You have to understand that what is the root cause of the problem, what actually led to the degradation, and you have to rectify that. So basically, that why the upper class started actually exploiting the lower class, Prabhupada writes in first and the second chapter. When the aim of Varnashram system is forgotten, that is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Varnashram system becomes an exploitative system in which the lower class people are exploited by the upper class people. So the root cause of the problem is that forgetting the aim of Varnashram, that is the Bhagavad Dharma, Samsiddhir Haritoshan. So when you know, when you forget that the, so in the Varnashram system, there is a hierarchy, Brahmanas are superior to the Kshatriyas, etc. And Sannyasis are superior to the other orders, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha. But above the Brahmanas and Sannyasis is the Supreme Personality of God. So when they forget the Supreme Personality of God, who is at the top of the Varnashram system, they think that we are the top, and then they start exploiting those who are lower. Therefore, to the extent we forget the Bhagavad Dharma, then the Varnashram system collapses. So therefore, Prabhupada emphasized about the Bhagavad Dharma so much. Bhagavad Dharma is devotional service. Next verse. Tato bhyetyashramam balo gale sarpakale varam pitaram vikshya dukkartu mukta kantoru rodaha.
Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder, and out of his grief, he cried very loudly.
So, Sringi came, and by seeing the dead snake on Samikrishi, he actually cried loudly. Boy was not happy because he committed a great mistake and he wanted to be relieved of the mistake, and so he cried loudly. So the sage born in Samika Rishi, who was born in Angira Rishi's family, gradually opened his eyes and hearing his son crying and saw the dead snake around his neck. And then Samika Rishi threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done something harm. And hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened.
So you see that
Samika Rishi, he did not take the dead snake seriously only. He just simply threw it away. So actually there was nothing wrong in Parishit Maharaj's act. But the foolish son took it very seriously. Because he was influenced by Kali Yuga. So he cursed the king and thus ended a chapter of happy history. So Sringi overreacted. Being puffed up by pride. 41st verse. Nishamya shaptam atadargham narendram sabrahmano natpajam abhyanandat aho batam ho magadadyate kritam alpiya sidroga gururdamodrata.
The father heard from his son that king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best among all human beings. The Rishi did not congratulate his son, but on contrary began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He was awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense."
So punishing more than required is a sign of lust. One of the symptoms of lust is that punishing more than required. Yes, Sringi performed that. But Parishit Maharaj was so mature in his punishment to Kali. Like he just did exactly according to the situation. So Prabhupada writes that a medical practitioner sometimes during the course of the treatment, you may make a mistake and the patient may die. That does not mean you hang the doctor. Doctor sometimes may commit a mistake. So king may order hanging of a culprit, son of a brahmana, but he does not become sinful for killing a brahmana. Because it is the king only by whose good government the citizens can live peaceful and without fear. Therefore, he said the king can do no wrong. So king is trained to be a Rajarishi. Rajarishi would rule so nicely that people could respect him as the Lord and he is the best among the human beings. So Samika Rishi, being an experienced good Brahmana, did not approve the actions of his condemned son and he regretted the whole incident. He said, "For a small offense, you have given such a great punishment. Navai nribir naradevam parakyam sammatu marhasya vipakva buddhe yateja sadur vishagena gupta vindanti badranya kuto vaya praja.
Oh my boy, your intelligence is immature and therefore you have no knowledge that the king, who is the best amongst human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common men. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess."
So here Samik Rishi is saying that by this king's intolerable power, the citizens protected and without any fear enjoy prosperity. In fact, the king is equal to Vishnu in fame. You cannot consider to be the same as ordinary men by immature intelligence. Alakshyamane naradeva namni Ratanga panyayam mangaloka tadahi chaura prachuro vinamsya arakshyamano vivaruta vakshnat.
My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchy of Vijayan. And when this Vijayan is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves, who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs.
So Samika Rishi is talking about how when the king dies, what will happen to the whole kingdom. So Samika Rishi is able to have a bigger picture. So leader means what? Leader means one who is able to see a larger picture. That is the main quality of leader. Samika Rishi is able to see that. So Prabhupada talks about how the king is a representative of the Lord because he is trained to acquire the qualities of God to protect the living beings. An ideal king, thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service, makes a perfect king. And with martial spirit. It is not that simply bhakti,
bhakti with kshatriya spirit, he becomes a perfect king. So then Prabhupada talks about monarchy versus democracy.
So personal monarchy is far better than
so-called democracy of no training and responsibility. So previously king would be trained and they would have responsibility. But in democracy, there is no training to elect people. The people who are elected, they have no training. And after taking, after getting elected, they don't perform the responsibility. In fact, they devour the masses. So one trained monarch is far better than thousands of useless ministerial robes. The 12th canto also, there is a verse which says that when there is a one powerful king, he can easily deal with thousands of robes. So similarly, one holy name can drive away all the sins and all the faults of Kali Yuga. That's what the analogy is given. So, because the monarchical regime is abolished, most mass of people became open to the attacks of Kali. Next verse, you can read the translation. 24.
Due to the domination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of people's wealth by robes and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. People will be killed and injured, and animals and women will be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible.
So he is taking, see, that we will be responsible for all these sins because we have actually cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So sage rightly takes responsibility of the Brahmanas as a community for killing the monarchical government and thus giving an opportunity to the Democrats, who are generally plunderers of wealth of the state, and thus giving an opportunity or opposition? Opportunity to the Democrats, who are generally plunderers of wealth and of state subjects. In the absence of monarchy, everyone will be the cause of disturbance for others by plundering riches, animals, women, etc.
So at that time, the people in general will fall systematically from the path of a progressive civilization in respect to the qualitative engagements of the castes and orders of society and Vedic injunctions. Thus, they will be more attached to economic development for sense gratification, and as a result, there will be an unwanted population on the levels of the dogs and monkeys, Shunam and Kapinam. The dogs are basically shameless in sexual intercourse and monkeys are too sexually inclined.
So, Samika Rishi is able to see what would happen when the monarchical regime actually collapses. So, Prabhupada writes that Aryans are those who are progressive in Vedic civilization. So, a degraded civilization of sense gratification and economic development is the byproduct of a godless or a kingless government of the people, by the people, for the people. Therefore, people should not begrudge the poor administrators they elect. So, the last verse we will take and then end.
Dharma palu narapati satu samrat bhrishabha sakshan maha bhagavatu Rajarshir haya medayat shutrishramak yuto dino naivasmat shapa marhati.
Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated as a first-class devotee of the personality of God. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed.
So he is talking about the Parishit Maharaj's qualities. Dharmapala, Narapati, Samrat, Brihat Shrava, Mahabhagavata, Raja Rishi, and Hayamedaya. That means he has performed many horse sacrifices. So therefore, he does not deserve a curse. After explaining the general codes of the royal problems,
general codes of the royal position, Samyaka Rishi says specifically about Parishit Maharaj. He admitted from all sides that Parishit Maharaj was cursed most unjustly. Although all the Brahmanas were aloof from the incident, still for the childish action of a Brahmana, because the whole world situation was changed. All the other Brahmanas were aloof from the incident. Therefore, this is a classic example of the term guided missiles with misguided man. In the hands of a misguided man. Like Sringi, as a Brahmana, he had a great power. But because he lacked culture, that power was there in the wrong hands. And power is there in the wrong hands, it can cause great havoc. So therefore, it is very important to see whom we are going to empower. Whom we empower, that becomes very important, because when people get power, they can commit mistakes. Guided missiles and misguided men. So all the other Brahmanas were aloof, but because of the childish action of one Brahmana, the whole world situation was changed. And Samyaka Rishi, being a Brahmana, took responsibility for the deterioration of the good orders of the world. Next, it will be taken tomorrow. How Samyaka Rishi prays. Stop here.